This is Cohen Meanderer. My name is Jason Nemro. I don't know how the style of religious teaching or how concepts are brought or are published. I don't know how we got to kind of serene speaker sort of presentation. I don't know where that comes from. I think at the beginning of the church, I've heard tell that, you know, they would get up on a stump, or if there was a banister there, they would have their foot up on it. And they would preach often. No, not often, maybe, but they would preach however they did. And I would imagine it would have the same kind of effect. Now, I don't know how much young people can comprehend this, but have more to do with the kind of speeches that politicians used to give. I guess New Wave preachers with praise music and things like that would be kind of the counterpoint to how like General Conference or Eastern Normal Speaking is done. I think some of the leaders of the church outside of General Conference, outside of pulpit work, have started doing the CEO presentation. This was more of, you know, I don't know if it was born of Steve Jobs. It could have been. Can I be honest? Apple at the time was a cult. And you bought Apple products because of several things, but one of them was kind of the cult of Jobs. And I wonder, I think that's not a bad, move. I think in these days, it probably doesn't work to talk in General Conference that way, but that means that if you're just in General Conference and speaking, it's not really catching on. I noticed that a lot of the apostles now are doing posts, doing like Instagram or Facebook. It's not really Facebook anymore. I guess they only really do it with the stuff that's really with stuff that's really hip. Because they're trying to access people. I think we fought for a long time trying to make sure that general authorities didn't have cults of personality going on. Who are some that did? Paul H. Dunn, Hartman Rector Jr. And if you don't know these people, they've been gone that long. They were 70s. I think they were I think they got into trouble. Some of them said they got in trouble because they told stories that weren't true. I don't know if that's true. I think they just didn't like... I think it was more of an issue of decorum and doing things, you know, and being very sedate, and this is the way the church is. And I think we're slowly not moving away from it, but we're slowly adding on some more things that don't behave that way. I always find it interesting. I call it the general authority syndrome, which is everybody. Okay, you see how general authorities talk so authoritatively in general conference, right? And this smacks of being authoritative. There's even been books written about how to do your ward talks in this style. And I mostly use YouTube. I don't use the rest of them particularly. Just because it's full of other garbage that I'm really not into. I like something a little more just, I don't know if it's just the facts, ma'am, or something like that. Anyway, several people do come follow me stuff, and that's not bad. I always caution people not to spend much time on those come follow me YouTube presentations, because and after a while you'll kind of see why. Either they're A, seminary teachers who are trying to keep kids awake, you know, and you're going, wow, how did that ever go? And you go, it's okay. Seminaries and institutes are really about dynamic people. You know, if you want to be anything, you kind of want to be picked up by seminaries and institutes, although the pay is either non-existent or small. I don't know if that extends out to the BYU way of looking at things. Those things, that has to operate more like, you know, I'm giving you a lecture and you're going to be tested on this and yada, yada, yada. To get a grade, imagine if you got a D in the Book of Mormon. You know, how enticing is that? Woohoo! But anyway, you see, those guys either A, they all want to be kind of the new gospel doctrine or seminary teacher on all these things, and almost all of them pull from seminary teachers, so they get that seminary teacher vibe. Sister Freeman, who right now is the general young women's president, she was a podcaster, CS type, all that stuff. And I think from those kinds of people is where you bring a lot of those organization presidents are from those kinds of settings. The general authorities really do end up being corporate types. Most of your apostles are drawn from your 70s. Most of your 70s are drawn from area authorities. Most of your area authorities are drawn from stake presidents. Most of your stake presidents are drawn from bishops. You know, it just kind of goes along in that fashion. there's really no way to climb that ladder particularly, you know. I guess, you know, I don't know. I've always had dreams in the past of how great a job I would do as a bishop, and over time I've really said, you know what, I don't know if I really want the bother, because it really, it's some extra work for sure. A lot of people take a lot of extra work on with it. And I think they've done a good job of trying to strip a lot of that work away. Talk to your elders quorum president. Talk to your not so much the Relief Society president. I know, so we're gonna have here in a few weeks, we're going to have an apostle come to our region, and they're getting various people together. One of the meetings, the first meeting, couple of hours, is really about just with bishops and elders quorum presidents. That's new. I used to be an elders quorum president before it became something. Once it became something, I was no longer the elders quorum president anymore. You know, I don't know if I rise to that level. In the scriptures, it says that to be made a high priest is indicative of your worthiness or things like that. And I'm not a high priest. I've never been lifted to that level. Even back in the old days when it used to be just kind of a, you don't want to hang out with the young adult men, so they will make you a high priest so you hang out with the older men. I miss that because I was living in a branch for most of this time. So I was like, well, do I lack worthiness? Do I lack this? Do I lack that? It's like, no. I don't know. It's really the Lord's take on it. And really how men in leadership interpret this. I tend to have a broad view. I would often call counselors that I didn't even like as people, because I felt like that being a counselor in the presidency was a development program. Now, however you want to look at it is fine. You know, there's all kinds of ways to look at it. That was one of the ways I looked at it. But it wasn't a thing to say, well, I'm going to get two of my best buddies that I work really well, to be honest, I don't really have buddies, you know, so it would be people that I think needed some development. So I would grab them and make them counselors in these things. And we'd sit down and we'd have meetings and they'd be, and we just do our things, and it was more of a learn just by being there, doing the things that need to be done, having your meetings, getting together, doing things. And I don't want to make it an ad for the things I'm doing particularly. It's really kind of upsetting when it becomes that. To me, it is. Other people just seem to have no problem. All say, oh, this is great. This is wonderful. And they put it right up there with the church resources. And you go, no, this is not a church resource. I do not speak for the church. I am not, you know, that's not what I am. This is, I'm not even a traveling elder. I'm just a standing elder. here, and they say, well, don't say just. And you go, shut up. This is, you know, just quit sitting there and telling me blah, 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 and stuff like that. I don't want to hear it. He says, I'm doing what I can do. People who want to listen to me can listen to me. I mostly advertise on Facebook, but I found out that Facebook is absolutely horrible. Well, at least it doesn't work for me. It doesn't tend to bring the people that I want. The funny thing is I go and I look at my blog and things like that, and it seems like the most views I get, and I don't care if they steal my stuff and reprint it like it's theirs. I don't care. I don't look at it as stealing. I look at it as propagating, you know. I hope Mormon isn't angry because he's not getting the residuals for all the Book of Mormon publishing that gets done. And that he's upset that he didn't get, you know, compensated for. I don't know, you know, but I'm not, you don't want to get weird about that. Money is money. Money provides food. That's great. You know, I'm grateful for people who do it another way, who find ways to make it interesting so that they can make money at it. And, shush. I don't know. Anyway, everybody tends to get into marketing eventually. And I really don't. And I don't think I'm some kind of paragon for not doing it. I'm just too lazy to do it, you know, to put forth the effort. On my blogs or even on these recordings, you know, these recordings are barely announced. And I don't mean the individual ones. I mean just in the conglomerate of saying what you're going to do. Well, anyway, I was talking about some of the come follow me things. They all dress in, you know, the guys dress in suits and ties. The women dress in the kind of in Sunday dress. And they do it like that, and you're going, what are you guys trying to convey here? You know, and it's like, what? Are you hoping you'll get noticed? Can I tell you? Emily Freeman, I think she got noticed from her podcast, and they grabbed her. And they said, we'll make you a worldwide leader of young women. And it's like, wow! And so I guess on some level it may work, and that's fine. You know, I don't really have a problem with the church basically being run by university presidents, judges and lawyers, major business leaders. We haven't had a lot of military men. We only had what? I think Hugh B. Brown was a military leader. I think that was really the only one that's ever become an apostle. Anyway, I don't know if it really matters that way. And people say, well, the Lord isn't in that. You go, how do you know? How do you know that? Maybe the Lord is trying to have that kind of influence. Our present group of apostles are definitely gravitas sorts that hobnob with government and civic leaders and business leaders and things like that. So it makes sense that these would be the same sort of people. Now, I'm not one of those sorts. I've got a degree in it. I kind of bluffed the degree, and I'm not saying I didn't do the work. I'm just saying that, you know, it's kind of supposed to be a development / culling process for an executive. And, I didn't treat it that way. I did it online, blah, 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 and I just cranked out that work because I could. I got it mostly so that when I went for jobs, I would be at the top of the list because I would have more credentials, more stuff than other people would. And it worked. It worked great. I have been more than compensated return on investment. The problem is, though, my wonderful wife, Lisa Jane, whom I love with all my heart, this whole return on investment thing kind of got stuck in her craw. And I was thinking about going out and getting a PhD or a doctor of ministry or something along those lines, because, you know, just because that might be a good thing. Now, the place I was going to go get it was barely above a diploma mill, but can I be honest? A lot of doctoral programs fall to being diploma mills if they're not trying to get you into into a certain mindset. I think of Martin Luther. Now, I haven't stayed Martin Luther hard at all. I watched the movie, Luther, which is probably the lowest and the worst. And he went, he became a doctor of theology, or a professor of theology. I don't think they really got into the doctor thing. These really weren't things. You have to understand, a whole lot of these kind of titles were born of honorifics given to Christian / Catholic scholars. They got these things, you know, they would wear a chain around their neck. They would have, you know, Hugh Nibley called the robes of the false priesthood. Those harken back to the priestly robes in the Catholic Church and such, the earlier Catholic Church. And, you know, all the things that come from it. And it all, same kind of thing. These were development programs / culling programs. Were you the kind of person that they wanted? Were you the kind of person worthy of this honor? I think it is funnier than all get out. I was going to say hilarious, but I couldn't get it out at the moment. I think it's hilarious that one of the latest saints was really kind of a skateboarder kind of guy. You know, and it was like, and he died young. I mean, I think he was only like maybe 16 or 17 when he died. And he was made a saint. And it's like, boy, what is that? Is that some attempt to draw younger people into the church? Is to make a saint out of a interesting kid that probably didn't have much of a religious bent at all? I don't know. You know, it really, you know, it just really comes of the whole thing. I just really don't know where that comes from. So I look back at these Come Follow Me podcasts or video vlogs, they used to call them. They don't anymore. Now they're channels, I suppose. And these really zing. Well, no. These are really for either aspiring seminary teachers or seminary teachers that need more or, you know, that are just kind of bored or want to monetize better what they already do. I wouldn't be surprised if seminaries and institutes encourage this. And tell them to go out and behave like this to supplement their income. I have no idea. I found interesting. I know one guy up way up where it's cold, and he does this. I think he is a seminary teacher. I think he did his channel basically as prep for a seminary class. And I don't know if it really became a bigger thing. What was his name? Smith. Something Smith. You know, and you go, oh, that's really big for Latter-day Saints. And you go, yeah, well. Anyway, and his wife would occasionally come in on him and say hi to everybody and then go off. Well, everybody, but he started looking at his, you can tell when they're trying to make an impression by how they tend to look at the analytics of this and say, you know what, every time my wife makes an appearance on this, on my thing, the numbers go way up. They love her. So they got to the point to where she started coming more and more on them, and I don't know if now she's a regular feature. Also, she used to have very straight hair, and she didn't used to do, you know, I think she was just going about her normal, you know, housewife, mom sort of things, and just happened to come through when he was doing his recordings. And instead of him being, oh, we got to stop and take that out, he would just leave it in because, frankly, it's easier. It also makes you feel like a real human being as opposed to a really produced, manufactured thing. And that's something that really seems to help in these kind of situations. And so now she's there, and she's gotten into the habit of kind of doing up her hair, doing makeup, dressing really nice, and that's kind of their thing. It's become kind of a team thing. I think it comes to the whole thing that these kinds of things have become kind of something that women really excel at. Men don't do so hot. And it isn't that it's bad. But most people prefer, they're getting some information, even expert information from people. They would really prefer to hear it from a woman than from a man. Don't ask me why. It's just, I think that's just the way it is. And so, yeah, do I already have some strikes against me? I'm trying to get Lisa interested in doing recordings, but she just, I don't know. We do the princess and the priest thing when we're together. She really doesn't want to do it when we're home. I've only been able to really talk her into it very often on other things. We, in that setting, we both have a bad habit of dropping names. And when you drop names, that's it. It's over. Close it down. Erase it. You know, because you're not supposed, you know, because you don't want to either praise or offend. Either swell up the head or pop it. You don't want to do either one. You can take circumstances and not attach names to it. That's okay. Of course, you've got to do it in such a way so that it doesn't really come up. And it's like, yeah. So that one's always tough. That one's rough. It's interesting, though. These guys get all dressed up, and I think some of them really, you know, to be honest, I think I think seminaries and institutes, and then getting promoted into church education system, larger thing, going and teaching at BYU and stuff like that, that is an avenue toward becoming a general authority. There is a certain number of general authorities that's kind of where they came from. And it really has a lot to do, I think, with just exposure. If you see this person and you say, we could really use this kind of thing, they might get in there. So I do get that kind of vibe sometimes that these guys are really hoping and grasping for getting on these things. I think it's tricky because back in the past, I think the tendency was that if you were a popular person, you would have to give up that popularity. If you got popular through your writing or through what do you call it? Through public speaking, perhaps. I think he ultimately got a calling in the general young men's presidency, I think, at some point. I can't remember. I don't know if he is anymore. I don't think he is. I think that was cute, and it was kind of fun to have popular, motivational, kind of gospel motivational speakers come up. These were the guys that came up through this weird kind of inner Mountain West fireside thing. Stake presidents would ask them to come, and they kind of treat them like little mini general authorities. They'd come and have them speak at state conference. They'd especially have them come and speak at firesides. And I'm not in that setting, and I'm not interested in being in that setting. Help people see, you know, and they say good stuff. John, by the way, started as a thing at, they called them, I forget what they used to call, BYU sponsored it. They're now called especially for youth conferences. Big conferences. Now, those guys started trying to have them, and then all of a sudden COVID came and just killed the whole thing. And I don't know if they really recovered. I don't know if they really recovered. I think that was basically the product of certain general presidencies of young men, young women. I think that's where we got a lot of like Brent Topp and guys like that. We still have a couple of motivational speaker presidency members, which is fine. It's a wonderful thing for them to be there. So it's not out of sync for these guys to say, well, this is just in my success track in trying to get there. Of course, they would never admit to this, but this is exactly what they're doing. You know, it's like, well, you know, this is, you should do that. My success track is gone. The chance of me becoming a bishop are about zero. Not that I'm too old, but frankly, I think I'm too crazy. And I think it's come out over time that I'm too crazy. I had one executive position, which I think somebody just kind of grabbed me because I was convenient and I would do it. And it was a heck of a farce. I think I did. Oh no, I don't know. I think I made an admirable effort that didn't get very appreciated at all. It could have become something larger, but I decided I didn't want to have anything to do with it, and the Lord said it was okay. I didn't have to do that. So, and I'm not a great motivational speaker. I hook on my words. It's terrible. The only thing that would help me to get into that kind of thing is if I had something amazingly or hugely tragic that happened in my life where people said, oh, let's have him speak. He's, He's really inspirational. And I'm not a very inspirational guy. I haven't done too many interesting things. Most of the things that I've done are pretty quiet. So, and it's mostly insights that come to me, which is not, which is problematic, I think, at best. But I was thinking about getting some kind of a doctorate. I've got a master's, so I can go get a doctorate now. It was mostly to have a little more gravitas in a setting. I wasn't really sure how I was going to do it. But I think the time's passed for that. And Lisa isn't going to tolerate it. She is much more worried about me getting better at saving money and stuff like that. Instead of me having something to do later on in life that would keep me motivated and interested in making us money, I don't think she sees that. So we're not going to go in that direction. And at this point, you know, I'm not really going to broach it with her. Really important to go, you know, I don't know, probably not. Other people, and it seems like small groups of people, very small groups of people, take my stuff and use it. I swear for several years there was a general authority, some general authority, that was actually listening to my stuff, because it seemed like a lot. My stuff would make its way into general conference. Not said by me, and certainly not attributed to me ever, that I'm aware of. But it would get there. And I attribute that to the spirit. The same spirit that motivates them motivates me. And so it's not surprising that we would have the same. Although I do have a small, you know, I get some small numbers on various things. I always just figured that I was never going to make money doing this stuff. Because I just didn't do it the right way. Let me tell you, I know I talk to other people and they go, well, you're doing this wrong. And you go, yeah, I know, I don't care. And they'd probably get so frustrated and shake their fist at me and say, you idiot, you could probably be making... You could probably be making at least tens of thousands of dollars just off of this stuff if you started doing it any kind of intelligently at all. And, you know, it's like, well, yeah, they're probably right. I probably would. I just find the whole thing interesting. And about if you had the ability to get out there and do something, I said, I think I would try to be a little more animated. I think I just am by nature. That I try not to be a boring speaker. Even if I'm reading it off a piece of paper, because, you know, that works better for me. When I go off the cuff, I hang on words and I sound like an idiot. And therefore, I can't do that. I mostly have to read my talks. I don't know if that means that someday I'm going to get one of those, golly, going to get one of those Google Glass sorts of things. So I can have the text of my talk right there. I don't give enough talks, so I can't justify that. You know, kind of have a teleprompter. It does okay for my videos. Someday I might get back to my videos. Because I can have that written out. Well, I'm driving in a car. I better not be distracted by trying to read something too much. Even though I do write down really, really empty back roads to get to work. And, I think I missed my turn way back there. Not that I'm in a big, huge hurry to get anywhere. Oh, yeah, I missed my turn. So anyway, you know, it's just trying to justify the cost on this stuff, becoming something like that. It's like, you know what, if I have enough money to eat, get by and do stuff like that, I could just do YouTube videos. I'm really quite inspired by this young guy who does What If Alt Hist. He really did alternate history before, but now he's really been into studying and doing things, and it's getting enough. He's got enough gravitas. I think he's making enough money off of it that he can really do this as kind of a business, putting out his videos. I'm not a business person. I'm not really interested in it. He's probably just to his mid-20s now. When I first started listening to him, he was like 21 or 20. But brilliant, brilliant guy. And, I don't know if I'm that brilliant. I think I just have a few things that come to me and that I can put out there. And it doesn't really matter. I can go through the effort of trying to make this stuff work well. I was doing a video set under Yasson Ben David HaKohen, and now I had a few things. It actually had worse. It was reaching fewer people than other things were, so I just stopped doing it. I needed to stay in there and keep doing it because it really does end up being, you really need to do more of this stuff. It's not really having a backlist, I think. I think it just has to do with becoming comfortable with the venue, for lack of a better term for it. I'm going to end up going all the way to Clovis on this back road. This back road used to go to, I used to take this road to the Ag Science Center. So I'm probably going to end up dumping out the old Ag Science Center north of Clovis, where I used to work way back in the day. That was my 1, 2, 3, 3rd. That was my fourth technology job was doing this. My first was when I went offshore and did oil exploration. My second was coming off of that and going to, that really kick-started everything. That really kick-started the big stuff. So I'm really glad Lisa tolerated me taking that job. We can only do it for 2 years. Chances are, if I would have stayed, I probably would have kept doing it because the actual circumstances were really good. It's a horrible job for a family. Horrible job for a family. So it's just as well that I stopped doing it. And I got on to better things. I don't know if they keep me closer to home particularly, but I don't travel as much. The job I have now is kind of a traveling job, but Not particularly. Anyway. So, I'm taking the long way around. I'm going through Clovis. So, I don't know what that all means. So, I might as well put this thing back over here. I gotten out my cat card to get on base, but it's like, you're not going to get to the base anytime soon. You silly guy. Well, anyway, so I find all that stuff really interesting. I don't remember how I ultimately got onto this subject. I never know for sure how I get onto anything. You know, that's why a lot of my stuff needs to be written down. I need to do bullet points. When I'm done, I'm done. I don't like the long form stuff. But I'm driving in a freaking car. I was trying to set up some kind of a rigging where I would have where I would have where I could at least have bullet points up and I could stay on target. I don't even know what I started out. I started out doing this saying, ooh, I've got something to say. And I hope I got to it because now I'm far afield from that. Well, it was about the church getting more interested in more animated people. Of course, I think you can get into big trouble that way because people are so easily corrupted by the monetization of these things. Almost invariably, people will start making changes to increase their income. It almost always happens. You know, you might take on a weird kind of sponsorship or something along those lines. Can I take this road? It's a dirt road, but it's headed in the right direction. It seems like it dies pretty quickly. I don't think it'll make it to where I want it to go. There's not really a road that goes down toward Ranch Vale. Anyway, I'll end up at the Ag Science Center for lack of any place else to go. Or I'll run to 209, one or the other. I know it's over here. sorry. Things that don't matter to people. They're just listening. David Archuleta is an interesting, he's kind of gone, I don't know if he's anti-Mormon, but he has lost his way. He got caught up in the whole, I'm gay and the church isn't very accommodating of gay people, but my gayness is way more important than the church's, so piss off. And this was bad because the church had really invested quite a bit into making David Archuleta into this little Mormon pop star. And I think the church has started backing off this a lot. I think that kind of came of like EFY type of mentality. And it coming back and biting them in the shorts, saying there's some people that became, you know, that might have been interested in the church because of David Archuleta. But when David Archuleta decided that being gay was the most important thing, he even did a whole album about walking away from the Mormon church. I don't know how popular it is, but it's there. And I guess David Archuleta fans get indoctrinated with this thing. I don't know, you know, and everybody tries to question, well, did he really have a testimony of it? Did he really believe in this? He says, well, we really thought so, and it seemed to have a good effect. He was very effective on his mission, I guess. And you're going, well, you know, but does the church really want to take those kinds of kind of cult of personality risks? It's hard to say because, you know, so it really has So I think it's good that the church has come back to the apostles and the prophets, the guys who have proven over decades their allegiance to the gospel. There are some, you know, some things fall apart. Things happen. Where's the exit? Sorry. This is, I'm going right past the house that my grandfather built. My mom grew up in this house a little bit, for a little while. Oops. Which was right down the road from my great grandfather's place. Which is where I spent a little bit of my growing up years living in that house. I don't know if my great grandfather ever lived there for very long. He was ultimately the mayor of Clovis. And I forget when he moved into town, into Clovis. I really don't know. The old Ag Science Center. What a place. I remember they used to grow pumpkins here for the little pumpkin thing. I don't know if they still do. Mostly because those guys got a pivot and they were trying to come up with things to do with the pivot that they got. A pivot irrigation system. Sorry, for those of you who don't know what a pivot is. Or at least in that context, it's a pivot irrigation system. Oh. And a dairy. I don't even know if this is really a dairy. I think it's just a stockyard. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway. So it makes it difficult when you think about these things. You go, so what do we hope to accomplish here? You know, we don't want people to lose faith in the organization. All right, now I'm taking the main road between Clovis and Tucumcari. So much for taking the back way. So if there's going to be a cult of personality, everybody, and I hope I do the same, everybody needs to point to Christ. That's the personality. That's who it's all about. Witnesses of Jesus Christ. It's all about him. I don't know what he's doing right now. I don't know if he's doing special project. You know, women love, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to get on to women, but women have this tendency. Tend to say that Jesus is constantly taking them by the hand, and helping them along, and even carrying them sometimes. And you go, that's really prosaic. It's beautiful. It says, but it's probably not very realistic. It says, because Jesus Christ is a person. He can't be there for every scrape and cut. He can't be there to carry you that much. Thank goodness he's got guardian angels. Guardian angels can behave like that, absolutely. You might even have a team of angels assigned specifically to help you along, to help keep you going. Now, do they all do it in the name of Jesus Christ? Absolutely. It says, I have no problem with that. No problem with angels, stuff like that. Jesus' visitations to certain people, it seems like it doesn't happen much at all. Joseph Smith's experience was somewhat interesting. He only had, I think, Christ face-to-face experiences in the Kirtland Temple and of course in the Sacred Grove. And I'm not sitting here trying to say, well, you know, you've destroyed my faith in Jesus Christ. And you go, well, if your faith in him is misplaced, and that's what it's based on, it says it's gonna get you into trouble. You know, it's like I said, what would you do if you found out Jesus Christ was fat? There's some verbiage in the temple that talks about that he may have been too heavy for having spikes just driven through the palms of his hands, that he also had them driven through his wrists because they were afraid that it wouldn't bear up his weight. You know, and you're going, if you saw him and you found out he was fat, would you turn away from him? Since he didn't meet the criteria that we have all set on him for being this kind of muscular, not terribly muscular, but decently Western ideal proportioned person. If he isn't like that, will you turn from him and look for salvation somewhere else? Or will you say, that's not Christ? No. And you go, I don't know. We don't know. The prophets have looked at some of the pictures and said, well, that looks like him except for the eyes or something like that. The problem is with just a headshot, you can have somebody that's pudgy and it doesn't really affect their face particularly. You know, they still look a lot, you know, they don't look emaciated. Jesus was being taken out to dinners. He was accused of being a wine bibber. There was all kinds of things said of him. And let me tell you, back then, kings were usually portly. They were big. If you had somebody that wasn't like that, you probably wouldn't be able to see them as a real challenger. You know, John the Baptist, who seemed to live off of honey and locusts in the wilderness, ascetic beyond my comprehension, and I'm reasonably ascetic. Wow. Amazing. So, you have to be kind of careful and I guess it's kind of associated with a cult of personality is the cult of false expectations. We can easily fall into silly, childish things. Greg Madsen, on his recordings, calls him Teddy Bear Jesus. Me, my concept of it's just a little different. It's not that far off, but I call him Lazy Jesus. Just too distracted by whatever. He's watching his soap operas. He doesn't want to mess with you and your problems. You can go and do your own thing and he doesn't care. And I'm not saying that's better or worse than what Greg came up with, but it's just the way that I looked at it from way before the internet was really that big of a thing. We certainly didn't have YouTube. because nobody had enough bandwidth to do that. It was all text. We were just basically trying to get audio to work really well. And of course, you know, it's no problem. I mean, everything was already done. It was just a new way of shunting audio and video through things. Now I've gotten to the point that most people have bandwidth that yes, they can have several pretty high definition video streams coming straight to their house and four or five people watching different things. It's capable. It can be done. Anyway. I'm sorry. Keep getting distracted from the cult of personality, the cult of false expectations, which I think is what we fall on now. You know, the whole Jesus is love and Jesus loves us. He'll never let us fall and those kinds of things. For my purposes, it's a bit of a philosophical leap. And I think it makes people not do what needs to be done. And that's the biggest thing. Too many people who don't view Jesus Christ as a real live, living, now exalted man, the first resurrected, and have this, I idealized almost going back to the God of no body so that he can be everywhere at once. And you're going, guy, let's not get into that. It says God is a corporeal, God and Christ are corporeal beings. They are men. More like us than not like us. Oh, I wonder if this Denny's is still open. It looks pretty quiet. I think it's shut down. I don't know. But this is certainly the time of day when Denny's would be kicking. Denny's is just as much a breakfast place as anything else. And Del Taco seems to have more activity. So I wouldn't be surprised if this Denny's is gone. They've been saying they were going to shut them down. At least some of them. Many of them. But, I don't know. No, I think it's open. But nobody's there. Wow. Not very popular. Anyway. You see, and that's what happens. People are so fickle about everything. When people treat the gospel the way they do a restaurant or anything else, you know, I kind of get concerned sometimes because I think a lot of people who seem to be church stalwarts are more like Alsop's burrito types. I'm driving just past Alsop's and one of its claims to fame is the world famous deep fried burritos that they have, which are, you know, they're cheap, but they're nasty and they'll kill you. You know, for just having nothing good, nothing particularly redeeming about them at all. But people keep coming and get them, you know, they kind of get, it's kind of a habit. And I know that some general authorities, not unrightly, don't mind the habit. Don't mind the fact that some people just are part of church because it's an habitual thing. Every Sunday I go. They hope it becomes something more than that to them, and it's always encouraged. But everybody can just take it as, yeah. I'm doing my check mark for going to church on Sunday, and I'm staying away from evil, therefore I'll probably make it to the celestial kingdom. Or on some level, that's probably not to say that they won't make it to the celestial. Just not to exaltation. Because I think exaltation demands more of you. Like I've said, I think when I think of exaltation, I think of not just doing the things the Lord wants you to do, but being invested in it. As in, you take and you understand the purposes of God, and you make it your own. You're trying to affect not only just the exaltation of yourself, but the exaltation of others in ways aligned, and that's why I talk about being aligned with the agenda of God, of the Lord. You're an active participant in doing what the Lord would do if he were here. Well, you know, the whole, what would Jesus do? It's kind of an expansion of that. That you will have more power as you stay firmly aligned with it. God's purposes are your purposes. You adopt his purposes. And then one day, you will just continue to do those purposes, but it will have your name attached to it, as opposed to some other father, some other God. You will be the God. It says, and that's where it comes from. And people all say, well, we're going to have to go to school for that. I am not a believer in the school motif of it. I am a believer in, and it's kind of a weak way of looking at it, but in the trust way of looking at it. As much as everything in this reality, call it what you will, universe, has trusts God to let him direct it. One day, you will have that trust. And when, you know, it may be by assignment, you know, say go off in that corner, I will tell everything there that you are God and they will trust you. And it won't be a problem. They will trust you. Just like everything here trusts God. That's how Jesus and Christ make this place happen. Is by, you know, faith brought to a higher level. Yeah, but still faith. That you will accomplish what you say you will accomplish, that you will do what you say you do. All this stuff in service to his work and his glory. That's where it comes from. I feel like I'm getting in here way too, I'm getting in here at the exact wrong time. So I'm almost tempted to go to just pull over because this isn't, I don't need to be there right now. I really don't. But I think I'm going to go pull over someplace else, go and do my work because I don't need to be on base at the moment. Take care of the things that have come up. Anyway, so these are the things that we really need to be working toward. And yeah, if you're getting all hung up in Christ just gushing, you know, almost, I'm sorry, having a sexual experience in love with you, and you having that kind of experience with him, that's no. yuck. Please don't. But you get you kind of get the whole idea that when it comes to some of these women, that's exactly how they feel. Well, I'm not going to get married. I'm going to get, you know, it's like the old nuns. I'm going to get married to Jesus because I love Jesus. I worship him. And you're going, are you having like, quasi-sexual thoughts of Jesus? You know, he's every woman's greatest desire. And because you can't see him, that's easy. The woman gets to make it up and say, oh, he's just like this. He's just so kind, just so wonderful. And you go, I'm not saying he's not kind, he's not wonderful. I'm not trying to say that. But he probably isn't really your picture because you know what? He's a real live person. Glorified though he is, he may not fit the picture you have in your head or the way you think he is. For all I know, he's kind of a business type now, and he's a big executive to the point to where he might be a little inaccessible. You know, there are pictures of Jesus everywhere, especially away from the celestial kingdom. You know, there'll be pictures there, kind of like you may have pictures of the president or the queen up in various places. And, that may be it. Oh, well. I hope this guy is going a different way. This guy's going so slow. We're going behind him, just almost apoplectic. Nope, I'm going to get over here. I'm going to go someplace else and let this stuff pass. This guy can't even get through the gate. That's too high, I think. He's blocking the thing for me. All right. Really not much more to talk about. So it becomes interesting how the church tries to be, the church's efforts to be attractive are interesting. I think it kind of goes from not trying, you know, just trying to be stable, but that only attracts some kinds of people. To be really kind of woohoo, bum 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 wee, that attracts certain kind of people too. And I think it becomes a whole thing of we don't know. And it really ends up being trying to separate the Sunday experience from a little more pumping, you know, kind of rave-like way that might be attractive to other people. That you can have a bunch of Latter-day Saints in some kind of decent way, having a regular rave-ish thing, and that's really what brings in the kids. But it's really kind of tricky because as people have tried to integrate a lot of churches try to make a youth program that's really run by Mr. Charisma or Ms. Charisma. And, making it this really amazing thing. And then trying to integrate that into Jesus and things like that. And I don't think it really works very well at all. Gospel doesn't lend itself to that. Although, you know, everybody goes to praise songs and I notice in the new hymns that there are many things that sound and feel like praise songs. So I don't think that those in charge of music are really against it. Although I think it has to rise a little bit. Although we are getting a whole bunch of I love Jesus, Jesus loves me. Praise Jesus, praise Jesus, praise Jesus, praise Jesus, praise Jesus. And it's like, you know what? This isn't Hare Krishna. It isn't about if you have that name going through your mind when you die, that's what you'll return as. This is number one, that's not our doctrine at all. And number two, well, no, I don't know if there's a number two, but the primary work of Jesus Christ was to accomplish the atonement and the resurrection, teach people about repentance and what they need to do and the kind of attitude and the kind of people they need to be. Did I break it a little bit? Getting the impression it's leaking. Oh, no. That's why Lisa said, let's take this soup with you. And you go, Lisa, it'll get all over everything. I don't need it. Sorry. Oh, and this thing's probably been going for 1,000 years. All right. Anyway, so I probably need to stop now. Be careful what you are ultimately committed to. Some people think that you can be committed to one thing and then ultimately you can actually find what you're supposed to be committed to later. And that's not a bad way of looking at it, but you might spend lots and lots of time and effort, go through lots and lots of people when they're not really, you know, they're interested in other aspects. I want to have the party stuff. I'm not really interested in becoming a better person and things like that. You go, you know what? People can go to other churches to be better people. Just basically. This is, and then they can associate with the LDS church once they really want what the LDS church is offering. That sounds bad though. So we ultimately try to be the church for everybody. And I said, I think we fall into a horrible trap trying to do that. It's what happens with, you know, and that's why we often lose people that don't want to do things and they actually give the church a bad name in doing that. We need to find somewhere to be kind of, and I don't mean to be a jerk about it or elitist, but, you know, it really ends up being about people who want to take this stuff to a higher level. And how do we do that without spending most of our strength just trying to be another Christian church that basically gets you to the terrestrial kingdom, which you don't even, you know, most of the things you don't even have to do. All you have to do is be decent and not kill each other, or take advantage of one another. Yeah, that's a good thing. And to get beyond that, we spend too much time just being another Christian church, and it's like, and you go, but we don't want to be elitist. And you go, yeah, you know what? At the end of the day, I think we do. I think we do want to be that way. If you're not really interested in what we have to offer, I would rather give half of our tithing money to other churches to basically take care, you know, you just take care of welfare. You know, that way all of the welfare suckers, and there are plenty of them, they'll get taken care of, but we don't have to get involved in that because we're so much more interested in that next step. You know, this is, you can go to a whole nother church and get, you know, the philosophies of men mingled with scripture. That's what they do. And you go, well, that doesn't make it happen. And you go, yeah, that's right. Anyway, okay, I'm going to let you go. I don't think I'm going to end this with the priestly blessing. I just want you to go forth and know that God takes care of you. Well, I guess that's what the priestly blessing is. So here it is. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance toward you and give you peace.